Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and there are workings of miracles in this service. Thank you, blessed Father. Lord, I ask that you touch everyone wherever they are watching from. Let the anointing be upon them. Let your presence fill their rooms, their offices, wherever they may be watching from. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Mighty testimonies will erupt from this service. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead and rejoice. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to me. We're unstoppable. Nothing can stop this gospel. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop God's plans and purposes. Amen. For this city, for Nigeria, and for this generation. Hallelujah. And I want us to be bold. I want us to be confident. Don't lose heart because of what is happening. Amen. Hallelujah. Follow the voice of God. Okay. Trust God. Be an advocate of faith, like we always say. Amen. Hallelujah. The darkest part of the night is just before dawn. And we believe very strongly that the day is about to break upon Jos, upon Plateau State, and upon Nigeria. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us know where you're watching from, okay? Let us know where you're watching from, or where you are listening from on Mixlr. Hallelujah. And keep the engagement coming, okay? Glory to God. Woo! The Lord our God is with us. And the shout of a king is in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We hope to wrap up our teaching on primitive apostolic practices today. Amen. Hallelujah. We have journeyed so far. We have journeyed so far and so deeply, I believe, for these 3 months now. And the Spirit of the Lord has taught us so many things, so many things. You know, I sat down and I was thinking about the revelation of the word that came to us in these 3 months concerning these primitive apostolic practices and the impartations we have received. And I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Amen. We got into August and we began to handle some very specific things each Sunday. The first week of August, we talked about doing life together. Okay. The practice of genuine fellowship. Hallelujah. And that was explosive. The second week, we talked about sold out. You remember? Amen. Was it so? We started second week. Okay. First week, we completed the lifestyle of prayer. Okay. So second week of August, we taught on doing life together. Third week, that's third Sunday, we did sold out, the practice of sacrificial living. Fourth week, we did sold out, which was last week, the practice of sacrificial living. Okay, sacrificial giving. Hallelujah. That was sold out part two. Okay, and today we're going to get into, we're supposed to do every believer a minister. Glory to God. So we will handle every believer a minister in the second service. I'll use the time I have in the first service to wrap up the remaining part of last week's teaching. Glory to God forevermore. And trust me, you are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm going to fast. Let's read our anchor scripture. Acts chapter 2. We will read from verse 42 to 45. Can put it up very quickly. We'll read the anchor scripture and take our journey. Hallelujah. He says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, we can use 2 services to do the recap. We've done so much. Okay, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Hallelujah. Let me just make a promise. This last part, this 43, we're going to handle it maybe next year. Okay, so this is just a phase of teaching for primitive apostolic practice. And fear came upon them. Many signs were done by the hands of the apostles. 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. It takes sacrifice to have that. Amen. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had in need. 46. I think we're doing down to 47. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts. Amen. Give me Acts chapter 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. One of the scriptures we read last week, Acts chapter 4. To give perspective. We read Acts 4, 33 to 37. Very quickly, Acts 4, 33 to 37. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Remarkable, isn't it? And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. 36. 36. I think I should have my Bible closed. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, remarkable. That means the Barnabas we called in the Bible wasn't originally Barnabas. His name was Joseph. Barnabas was a pet name the apostles gave him because of his contribution, in giving. Are we together? Whom the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Is the practice I want us to see. You see, if we don't go into the Bible and teach certain things, they'll be lost to our generation. This is the social media generation, they call it, and data is cheap. Anybody can just pick their phones and say what they want about the Christian faith and say what they want about practices in the kingdom and say what they want from their head, from their brain, from human opinion, from human wisdom. And I have said this again and again, that as believers, we have to be careful. You see, don't follow men whom you have not proved. Are we together? You have to follow and listen to people whose life have proved the things that the Bible teaches. Glory to God forevermore. People that have lived before you. People that have results to show that, look, what did the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe. He says, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beginning from verse 7, that Acts chapter 13. It says, consider them that have the rule over you. Okay, it says, whose faith follow? That means there's a prescription, of the faith of the people you should follow. The Bible is very clear about it. You don't just look out someone on social media and start following them, or just read up a post and say, hey, okay, man, this guy sounds right. He's quoting scriptures. No. Especially when you are at a certain stage of your growth and development as a believer, you have to follow someone who lives before you. Are we together? Who has proved what they are preaching? He said, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Conversation that is Old King James for manner of life. That means they are living before you. That means one way or the other, they are proving the gospel before you. Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their manner of life. He says, their life has proved that Jesus Christ is consistent. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So we're going to the work. We're giving due diligence to bring out these practices that characterized the early church. And these practices determined their results. This is what we're teaching them. I mean, men sold houses and lands to bring the money to church. Glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. There are believers who are not aware of such practice anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we began to talk last week about the wisdom of God, about the assignment of the New Testament church compared with the old, comparing us with the Old Testament church. Of course, there was a church in the Old Testament. Those were the children of Israel. Church simply means the called out ones. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament were the custodians of the law. The folks in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, the law was given to them. The old covenant was given to them. They were the seed of Abraham according to the flesh. And they were the type of the church that should come. But you see, basically what they did was to maintain the temple, to keep the ordinances of God, which were prophetic adumbration, which were sketches of what was to come, which is Christ. Are we together? Which is the race of the new creation. That was the substance. Christ and us. Okay. In fact, Christ includes us, because Jesus is the head of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So when I say Christ, it includes the church. Christ is the substance of the Old Testament. Christ is the materiality of the Old Testament. But you see, they had to live out the shadow. There were practices that were given to them to live out, to prepare the coming of Christ, the coming of the new covenant. But here's my point. You see, the things they did, the assignment that the Lord gave them is different from the assignment of the New Testament church. When you don't understand that, you may confuse many things. Let me not go into some of the confusion that people have because of the lack of understanding of the difference in dispensation. Amen. But just get it from me. The assignment of the Old Testament church was just to live out that they had feasts. They had the temple. They had a priesthood, which were all a type of what was to come. A shadow of what was to come. Sketches of what was to come. Hallelujah. So they simply maintained the temple, took care of the poor. But see, in the New Testament, our assignment is different. Our assignment is to propagate the love of God, to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to propagate the good news of the finished works of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Have it together to establish the lordship of Jesus in the hearts of men and across the different spheres of human endeavor all over the world. As an assignment, before Jesus left, he gave a command. He says, all hail, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, make students of all nations. That's an assignment. Have it together. So the New Testament church was thrust into an assignment that requires the participation of every part of that body. Are we together? I'm saying this for a reason. Sometimes when you talk about giving, when you talk about, you will notice that what the early church did, you couldn't find it anywhere in the Old Testament. People gave, okay, according to the law. People gave according to their love for God. But you see, in the New Testament, they gave, okay, based on the consciousness of the assignment that was given to them. At a point, they had to send missionaries out. Those missionaries had partners. We're going to see shortly. Paul had partners. The church in Macedonia, he wrote to the church at Philippi. They were his partners. Hallelujah. They were his partners. Glory to God forevermore. So the assignment of the New Testament church necessitates a level of participation, of sacrifice, that probably wasn't there in the Old Testament. Are you with me on my argument? Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And we went further to talk about God's wisdom for sponsoring his work. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Amen. He can do and undo. He can do and overdo. Nigerians call it Jehovah overdo. Amen. But you see, one of the things you learn as you grow in the things of the Spirit is that God has the preferred way of doing things. And in this context, God's preferred way of propagating his love, of spreading this gospel to the nations of the earth, is through the prosperity of his people. He had said in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, he said, cry yet, saying, through prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. Shall my cities be spread abroad. Spiritually speaking, he's talking about true prosperity. Shall his ideology, shall the gospel be spread abroad. Whose prosperity? The prosperity of his people. Hallelujah. The prosperity of his people. And that is very important. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 20, you can put it up. The Lord God prospered them and they arose and built. Okay, that is an expression of the wisdom of God. That God prospers his people, then they arise and begin to build. God prospers his people and they arise and begin to build. And he answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servant, will arise and build. Glory to God. Who arise and build his body. Who build his temple. And that's talking about the church. Every soul you win is a block in the temple that has been built. Have it together. Oh, every soul you established is like a block being, you know, you put cement in between, being stable in this temple that the Lord is building. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. All right. So let me just show you a few things about the power of sacrificial giving. Show you a few things about the power of sacrificial giving. You are the first beneficiary of a lifestyle of sacrificial giving. You can write it down. You are the first beneficiary of a lifestyle of sacrificial giving. You are the first beneficiary. I can't remember if I mentioned this last week. Listen to me. Every time, you see, one of the ways to win a war is by understanding the strategies of your enemy. Have it together. Once you understand the strategy of the enemy, you can easily win that war. A lot of Christians don't understand how Satan works. Paul says we are not ignorant of the devices, right? Of the methods, of his schemes, of the enemy, lest he should take advantage of us. That means you need to hear this. Satan has been eternally, irreversibly, and completely defeated. But see, his only advantage over the believer is the believer's ignorance. Let me say that again. Satan has been irreversibly, completely, okay, and eternally defeated. His only advantage over the believer is the believer's ignorance. So he says, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, lest he should take advantage, have advantage over us. So ignorance is the only advantage. Part of Satan's strategy is to cover truth. Okay? Amen. And he has different ways he does that. Either by distortion, either by complete ignorance, he just doesn't want people to know it. Why do you think the Bible was not translated for hundreds of years? I mean thousands of years, not hundred, over 1,000 years. Why do you think we have the Dark Ages? He was sponsored by Satan. Because listen, the first level of warfare is in the mind. And if Satan can block light, the truth of God's word, from coming to a person, from coming to a group of people, he has won. He is the king of the kingdom of darkness. He's the ruler of darkness. That means he rules where there is darkness, where there is ignorance. That's what that means. Have it together. But that's not where I'm going. Here's the second thing. Another major way Satan, sponsors ignorance is by sponsoring rumors and scandals around truths. You need to get this. This is very important. You have to understand this. You have, once you can discern Satan at this level, you will get back to the Bible for clarifications and you'll be successful. You'll be prosperous. Satan gets advantage over believers by sponsoring scandals and rumors, negative rumors around truths. Notice speaking in tongues. Well, maybe not in your context. My grandfather was an elder in an Orthodox church. If I begin to tell you what they said about speaking in tongues, you'd be amazed. We were told that speaking in tongues was, when people speak in tongues, they are possessed by evil spirits. And it's not part of the New Testament after the first century. That's what we were told. Some of you can't believe that, isn't it? You were born Holy Ghost rising. Amen. Why do you think Satan sponsored that? So when people, imagine if he grew up, he's going to take the power of God to break such mindset. Amen. They say when people are speaking in tongues, they are filled with evil spirits. That is sponsoring scandal around a truth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The same thing with tithing. All kinds of things have been said. Oh, they are using people's tithe to buy private jets, to buy cars. When some people see the kind of time, my time, I should say, see tithe there. See tithe, see offering, see first fruit. Amen. And see, we may be laughing, but those things were sponsored from hell. Satan sponsors scandal around truths. Around truths. There are many others. If you sit and think deeply, you will see them. In fact, there are denominations where singing of praise and worship with music was prohibited. Why? Satan sponsored scandals around it. How about together? The same thing with giving. With giving. If you are from certain circles, when they mention giving, you'll be suspicious. If you ever hear about giving in church, your suspicion goes off. Your suspicion alarm goes off. Amen. But see, if you are used to it, it may not mean much. But there are places where a pastor talks about, okay, you need to give sacrificially. All kinds of things go through their minds. So, is this pastor trying to get money from us? Is this church trying to get... Are we together? Why is it so? Satan has sponsored scandals around the truth of God's word. But what is the solution? Paying attention to what the Bible really says. Have it together. What does the Bible really say? You are the first beneficiary of a lifestyle of giving. You are. Not the person you are giving it to. Whether you are giving to church, giving to the pastor, giving to your parents, giving to the poor, giving to the needy. You are the first beneficiary. Have it together. And remember, we're talking about sacrificial giving. Giving that touches you. Giving that is out of the ordinary. You can give and it's not sacrificial. That's not what we're talking about. Amen. We are talking about sacrificial giving. Hallelujah. Here's the first thing now. Talking about the blessings and the power of sacrificial giving. Spirit and the realm of the spirit responds and honors sacrifices. Spirit beings and the realm of the spirit responds to and honor sacrifices. By now you know that life is spiritual. By now you know that nobody, listen, a sacrificial giver is a dangerous person. You know why? No man amounts to anything serious without being assisted by spirits and from the spirit realm. Did you get that? No man amounts to anything serious without being assisted from the spirit realm and by spirits. No man, quote me anywhere. Life is that spiritual. You must be assisted from the spirit realm. That means anyone who does not understand this concept of sacrifice cannot amount to much. And it works either ways. Sacrifice gets the attention of demons. Sacrifice gets the attention of spirit, of angelic spirit. Guess what? Sacrifice gets the attention of the Father of spirits, Yahweh, El Elyon, Jehovah. He gets his attention. He does. Have it together. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, you can put it up. The man Solomon, the Bible says he loved the Lord and he gave 1,000 burnt offering. Read it last week, gave 1,000 burnt offering. The Bible said that same night, the Lord appeared. Listen, the Lord did not appear randomly. Okay, he didn't appear randomly. He went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Go back to verse 4. He went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high priest. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Before this time, nobody has done this. 1,000 burnt offerings. You know what he's saying? In those days, he's talking about bullocks. He was just 1,000. He sacrificed it upon the altar. In fact, there are many dimensions to this sacrifice. The strain alone. And the quantity of the substance. Have it together. Backed by a heart that loves the Lord. You remember in verse 3. Go to verse 5 now. In Gibeon, the same place of the sacrifice, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give you. What? Ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you. Sacrifice gets the attention of spirits. Glory to God. He does. Last week I told you, I said where are your sacrifice landmarks? Do you have landmarks of sacrificial giving? Every year, do you have landmarks? Or you go through convenience all through the year? You must have landmarks. It could be quarterly, it could be monthly, landmarks of sacrificial giving. You know, in the first quarter, there was something you did. Oh, that touched you. You know what David said? I will not give to the Lord that which will cost me nothing. Have it together. That means you did something that touched you. You did something that was a sacrifice to you. Sacrifice means it touched you. Sacrifice means you went the extra mile. Sacrifice means you went beyond the conventional. Sacrifice means you were deliberate about it. Either instructed by the Lord, or you just said that, look, I must have, in fact, it works both ways. Don't wait until God instructs before you engage in sacrificial giving. No, don't wait. Yeah, it could happen. And if you listen closely, you say, when we talk about God instructing, it's very relatable. What I mean is this. You see, it depends on how attentive you are. God may be speaking and you are not hearing. That means it's better to go into God's word and set up yourself for sacrificial living. You just set up yourself from the beginning. That's why I use the term your landmarks, lifestyle, and then deliberately having landmarks of sacrificial giving. Are we together? Until it becomes a lifestyle. Hallelujah. In that night, the Lord appeared. He said, ask what you want. Ask what you want. Merobako seshta. You notice in the Bible, it's not in many places you see this kind of thing. No. God appearing and said, ask what you want. And this is where you see God giving blood sworn blessings. Sworn blessings. He said, ask what you want. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And his priority of wisdom impressed God. God was so impressed. He said, you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies or for riches. The things you didn't ask for, I'm going to give it to you. God was so impressed. Hallelujah. Honestly, that's Matthew 6:33 equivalent of the Old Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom. Meaning seek ye first God's interest and all other things shall be added. Woo, glory to God. Did you get that? That is Old Testament practice of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom and all other things will be added. Seek the Father's interest. He was interested in, he says, your servant doesn't want to go out and come in. Give thy servant an understanding heart. And God gave him wisdom. But the focus here is God appeared to a man. Sacrifice, stimulating, causing the spirit realm to respond. Give me 2 Kings chapter 3, 26 to 27. One of the most amazing portions of scripture on the impact of sacrifice on the realm of the spirit. You shouldn't miss this. If you have never seen this verse of scripture before, pay attention. Amen. In fact, even if you've read it before, pay attention. Glory to God. 2 Kings 3, 26 to 27. Now, let me give you a background story. Something happened here. Three nations, the children of Israel, that's Israel, Judah, and another kingdom. Was it Edom? I'm not sure now. You can read it. Three nations came together to go against Moab because Moab rebelled. They were paying tributes. Okay? They used to pay tribute to Israel. But they said, this cannot continue. And he revolted. He didn't want his nation to be subservient, okay, to the people, to the king of Israel anymore. And he revolted. And in those days, that meant war. Amen. But guess what happened? Israel formed an alliance with Judah and with Edom, I believe. And then they went against this man. They didn't just go against the man. They went to a prophet. His name was Elisha. Initially, Elisha was angry because at that time, the king of Israel was the son of Ahab. And Ahab was a notorious king. He was against the prophet of God. He was against the ordinances of heaven. Okay, and all that. So Elisha was angry. He was so angry that the anointing lifted. Until he said, bring me a minstrel. And as the minstrel played, the spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he began to prophesy. He prophesied victory for Israel by the Spirit of God. I need to get this. He prophesied victory for Israel by the Spirit of God. And guess what? This Elisha is not a minor prophet. Amen. Elisha is not a joking prophet. Go and check his prophetic records. He was the prophet of the nation. He prophesied. He talked about how they were going to get the victory. Make your ditches in the valley. And then there will not be wind or rain, but the whole places, the ditches shall be filled with water. And that happened. And that led to the initial defeat of Moab. But see what the king of Moab did. It shows you, you know, a lot of people have asked questions. What happened? God was for the children of Israel. How come suddenly there was indignation against the children of Israel? What happened? People have asked, did God approve of what the man did? Okay, is it just all kinds of speculations? But I want you to see this. You see, in the realm of the spirit, there's what we call the law of the highest bidder. Have it together. That means the believer who is a covenant person, if he doesn't have the understanding of how to walk the covenant, he on the earth, he'll be subservient to a man who is a child of the devil, who understands how the system of the devil works. Are you with me? What I said now is the simple reason why Christians fail in politics and in business. Because they don't understand that nobody amounts to anything without being assisted by spirits. The other guy applied for the contract, went to kill animal, went to drop sacrifice with Babalawo. A Christian applies for the job. He says, Pastor, just pray for us. If this ain't click, everything will be all right. No sacrifice. No sacrifice. He doesn't understand. No sacrifice. And that sacrifice there is a spectrum. Sacrifice of prayer and fasting. Understanding how the blood works in communion. Sacrifice of your substance. Sacrifice of prophetic utterance. Are you with me? That's what played out here. And listen, I told you the realm of the spirit honors sacrifice, right? Let me tell you this. God respects and honors sacrifice. He was the one that set the algorithm of the earth like that. You don't fight it. You let it work for you. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, meaning the battle was too fierce, watch what he did. He took with him 700 men that could draw swords. That means elite forces. He took his elite corps. He took his special forces. Like the Marines, special forces. That could draw swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. That means when you try and try and nothing is happening. And then you see, you look at, you say, this is my best. Okay, I'm going to approach this way. And you do again and you cannot. There's something that cannot fail. Next verse. This is something I put to work in my personal life. At junctions when you have tried this and tried that and do this and as though nothing is working. Sacrificial giving is calling. But many believers don't know it. Are you here? He said, then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead. The Bible was detailed to show you that it was a sacrifice. He could have an eldest son that was useless. Amen. Have it together. This one was trained to rule in his stead. Number two, he could have picked any of his sons. Human sacrifice is human sacrifice. Amen. But it's not the same. In fact, he could have gone to pick any of his citizens. Hi. He did. You think this was not specific? Whatever principality was worshipping was very specific. Amen. Because they are trying to overturn things in the realm of the spirit. You see, when God said they had victory, it was angels that were deployed to walk with the children of Israel. But the law of the highest bidder. If you get this. Watch this. He took his son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. That means the realm of the spirit turned against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land. Suddenly, the battle turned. When God saw a man who was ready to do what he thought only he could do. Only he and Abraham could do. He saluted. He said, Kai, we must honor sacrifice. Amen. Are you with me? There was great indignation. Many things to learn from there. Of course, human sacrifice is demonic. God had never permitted his covenant people to do it, even before Jesus came to die. Only God was qualified to do human sacrifice, and that was his son. And that was the first and the last. Are you with me? And that sacrifice has forever provided everything needed. But you see, the daily application, it gets you to demonstrate your faith in that ultimate sacrifice. Are you with me? You have to demonstrate your faith in that ultimate sacrifice. So in sacrificial giving, in sacrifice, you mobilize spiritual assistance. That's what we're saying. Never forget that. You have to be skillful in this thing. You have to be. There are days where it's your only car you give. There are days where it's your account you clear. There are times where you just liquidate investment, put them together and release. Are you with me? You must learn this way of sacrifice. Glory to God. Number two. Through sacrificial giving, you flourish in famine. You flourish when there's famine in the land. Listen, you can create your own economic climate within any socioeconomic context. Yes, you can. That means you can determine your personal economy in any economic situation, any broad economic situation, in any city, any nation. You determine how you want to live. That means they may say there is famine here. Through sacrifice, through sacrificial giving, through yielding to difficult instructions sometimes, which is sacrifice, you create your own economic climate. Remember in Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says there was another famine apart from the one that happened in the days of Abraham. And in verse 3 or so, Isaac wanted to go out of Gerar into Egypt. And the Lord appeared to him and said, stay in Gerar and I will prosper you. You know, that sacrifice. Are you with me? The economy of a nation is not doing well and you have opportunity to jackpot, to port, and the Lord says, stay here, I will prosper you. That's a difficult instruction. Difficult instruction. Are you with me? That sacrifice, what do you think? There was famine, likely with drought, because in those days, those famines come with drought, are precipitated by drought. But you see, he obeyed. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are. If you understand this, you can always turn the tides in your favor. Because what you are doing is you are expressing confidence in your own system. That's what you're doing. So you create your economic climate. There's no such thing as there's no money in this country, in this city. No. You get into God's word and create your economic climate. And chief among the practices is sacrificial giving. Givers can never be stranded. Sacrificial givers will always have dominion over mammon. You can write it somewhere. Sacrificial givers will always have dominion over mammon. Remember, there's call to action on the things I'm saying. Is that you develop a lifestyle of sacrificial giving. Is that you must have landmarks for sacrificial giving. Quarterly, monthly, landmarks. Landmarks. There are believers that have a whole year pass. They have not done any monumental thing for the gospel as far as giving is concerned. Don't be that kind of a believer. No, don't be. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So we see in the same Genesis 26, 12 to 14. The Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the same land. And Isaac sowed in that land. Oh, and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him in the land of famine. Listen, when there is famine, it's not a time that people sow. A lot of people consume what they have and expect for whatever will happen when there's famine. But he sold. He sold. This is a physical stuff that has spiritual significance. That means when you don't have enough, you can sow. And I've told you in the New Testament, giving material substance is called sowing or seed. We did not invent it. It wasn't pastors who invented it. Paul talked about it. He talked about God multiplying your seed sown. The context was material giving. And he called it seed. Have it together. This is why it's important who you give your ears to. All kinds of scandals are being sponsored around giving. And you have to be wise. Glory to God forevermore. So in famine, you sow. When you notice that things are not, this is what we do. Things are not, you are trying to hit and it's not, you sow. You begin to flourish in famine. Psalm 126, 4 to 6. Put it up for me. Psalm 126, 4 to 6. Let me tell you. Don't put Genesis 26 back. I'll just quote it. Listen. Isaac was so prosperous that an entire nation envied him. Through the sacrificial actions. Are we together? He said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Now he's showing you how to replicate this turnaround. If you read from verse 1, he says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we're like dead that dream. Okay? We're like them that dreameth. Okay? So he's showing you here, turn again our captivity. What is he saying? Listen, the Bible, when we teach Bible interpretation, one of the things we tell people is this. Okay? That, and this is the confusion many people have in understanding the Bible. This is what I'm going into. That means it's time to bring it on board generally. You see, the Bible is not just one book. The Bible is a combination of different literary genres. Have it together. That means you have historical genres. Okay. You have prophetic genres. You have apocalyptic genres. Have it together. Different literary style. Are you with me? You have correspondence style. The letters of Paul have the style of correspondence. Are you with me? So when you read portions of scripture, you have to understand the language. Some have prophetic language, prophetic style. When you look into that, when you understand this simple thing I just say now, will help you a great lot in understanding different parts of the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. He says, turn again our captivity. He's speaking. You know, David was a prophet. I didn't call him a prophet. The Bible calls him a prophet. He was a prophet. Are you aware that he probably gave the greatest in quantity, in volume rather, he gave the greatest messianic prophecies. Not even Isaiah. That's remarkable, isn't it? I'm talking about direct messianic prophecies. Of course, all of the Old Testament scriptures pointed to Christ and his work. But what we call messianic prophecies came, most of them came to David. And some of them, he was just praying and praying about his enemy. And he was prophesying about Jesus on the cross. Some he saw a vision and then spoke them into being. So this is prophetic. He's saying this is how to turn again. This is how to replicate that turnaround. Are you with me? Like the streams of the south. Verse 5. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Are you seeing that? There's a sowing inside. That means the first thing in turning away, in turning around captivity, is sowing. Glory to God. He that goeth forth weeping, that means it's a sacrifice. Bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. That means casting precious seed into the ground. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Doubtless. There is a certainty of the result of the practice. There is a certainty. You cannot beat God giving. No, you cannot beat God with sacrifice. You can't. Go and ask Abraham. You can't. He says he shall doubtless. There is no doubt about it. There is a certainty to the result. He shall doubtless return, bringing in his sheaves, bringing in his harvest, his bumper harvest. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The practice of sacrificial giving. You flourish in famine. You create your own economic climate. You create it within every and any socioeconomic context. You create it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, you can write this down. Sacrificial giving is how we break out of economic tight places. Sacrificial giving is how we break out of economic tight places. It's not by begging. Begging destroys your faith, really. Amen. It destroys your faith. It paralyzes your faith. It's a level of faith too, just that your faith is in people, not in God. As God told Bishop Oyedepo almost 40 years ago, he said, my son, look up with one eye and look down with the other eye. Can you try that here? Yeah? Please let me see the journals in this hall online. Can you try that? And let us know your results. Look up with your left eye and look down with your right eye. Or whichever you choose. Look up with one, look down with the other. Have you been able to do it? Talk to me. Who has done it? I know what God told him. He says, every time you are looking to men, don't claim you are looking to me. Because the two cannot happen at the same time. Did you get that? You're not looking to him. So begging is actually faith. Of course, not God, the God kind of faith. Human faith. You're looking at what people have. You don't giraffe into any man's resources. Giraffe is psychologist. You don't stretch your neck to look into any man's resources. It's not your own. Amen. It's not yours. Engage your faith to produce yours. Can I get an amen? You don't. Hallelujah. Number three, sacrificial giving increases your capacity for greater exploits. It increases your capacity for greater exploit. Oh, hallelujah. Increase capacity for greater exploit. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Put it up for me. Liberality. Liberality enlarges you. It increases your capacity. It increases your capacity. He started by saying, there is that scatters and yet increases. And there is that withhold more than his meat, and it turns to poverty. Oh God. What a complete scripture. He says you can increase by scattering. That is the wisdom of God. The context is giving. The context is liberality. We're going to see the next verse. He's been liberal. The context is giving. Someone who is liberal. There's no true liberality without sacrifice. He says, the receipt that scatters, yet is increased. Yet is increased. That means the way to increase is by scattering. How can you explain that? The world will teach you that the way to increase is by gathering. And don't forget the context is given. So you want to increase. What have you scattered? How much have you scattered? What do you have in the soil? There is that scatters, yet increases. And there is he that withhold more than his meat, more than is necessary. That means there's something you should withhold for savings, for essentials, for investment. But it must be balanced with giving. And even that which you are saving, God is Lord over it. That means God can instruct that it should be cleared. Are we together? Look at 25 now. The liberal soul shall be made fat. It's not physical fatness he's talking about. Okay. It's not physical fatness. The Hebrew word is doshen. It means to anoint for prosperity. It means the anointing. Okay. It means to prosper. Are you with me? It actually means to be blessed. It means to be large. That's what he's saying. Again, prophetic context. Prophetic style. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Where is the fatness happening? Listen to this. The headquarters, your center of production of life is your heart. Are you with me? Your factory for producing your experiences in life is your heart. That's your factory. Is your heart. Never forget this. If your factory is small, your result will be small. If your factory is medium size, your result will be medium size. If your factory is large, your results will be large. That means no large result can come from a small heart factory. Did you hear that? No large result is not possible. If you fake it, it will return back. Therefore, the wisdom of God is to enlarge your heart. Watch this. You see, before God gave Solomon wealth, you know what he did? The Bible says God gave him largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. You've got to be large within. You've got to be big within. A lot of people are focused so much on trying to be big on the outside. No, life flows from inside out. You've got to be large within. And the wisdom of God for increasing that inner capacity is liberality. Is liberality. Liberality. This is why you must have landmarks of sacrificial giving. Landmarks. This year, what have you done that is a sacrifice as far as giving is concerned? Are you with me? You saw in Acts to the apostles that people sold land and houses and gave. Sometimes that's what should be done. We have to say this again because there are Christians who are not aware. Glory to God. First month of the year is passing, or a month is passing, or a quarter is passing, and there's no landmark. You create it. It will speak. It must speak. You saw it now. It shall doubtless return. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed already? Glory to God. Listen, God doesn't have a problem with giving you the mega. He just wants to be sure he has your heart. It's part of that capacity I'm talking about. Because wealth has destructive power for those with small heart factory. Amen. It doesn't take God 2 days to give you the mega. Write this down. Your liberality is a test of your faithfulness with money. Remember, Jesus taught 3 levels of faithfulness, or 3 kinds of faithfulness. He says, faithfulness with that which is little, faithfulness in that which is another man's, and faithfulness with money. Right? He taught 3 kinds of faithfulness. And you see, these are 3 areas you must ensure you are faithful. Faithfulness in little. Faithfulness in little. Faithfulness in little. There are people who are thinking is when the bigger things, begin to come, that they'll begin to give to God, give to the poor, give to their parents, okay, and do certain things. No. Faithfulness with little. Faithfulness with little. Glory to God. It starts. I gave you guys a story of a guy who gave $1 million, said, last year. It began by I can't forget it. I don't think there's a month I don't get Richard card, even if it's 1,000 from him. For years. And boom, doors open. Are you with me? Faithfulness with little. Look at what Jesus said. He said, the man was faithful with 10 talents. The master said, come and be ruler over 10 cities. How can you explain it? Amen. And then you talked about faithfulness with money. So your giving is a test of your faithfulness with money. And what do we really mean by faithfulness? It means God is testing you. God is trying your heart. Let me put it that way. Are you with me? For money is both a tool and a test. Amen. It's a test of your capacity. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. You saw what God told Abraham in Genesis 22. He said, now I know. Now I know. You'd be like, God, you didn't know Abraham before. You didn't know he loved you before. He said, now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Imagine. And God gave him sworn blessings. Hallelujah. Number 4, which is where we'll hang this thing today. Sacrificial giving provokes the anointing on your behalf. You have to get this one. Sacrificial giving provokes the anointing on your behalf. Did you get that? Have you gotten that? Look up at me, everyone. Forget the lies. Again, I'm back to the lies in circulation. Forget the lies and the deception. Okay, on social media, projected by some social media teachers. So they say we are all anointed. Okay, you don't need anybody to rise. By that, silently or subconsciously eroding the honor and the value for the place of the anointed in the New Testament church. I told you, every time Satan sponsors lies and rumors and scandals around the truth, the focus is not the ministers. The focus is not God. The focus is your faith. The focus is your faith. Are you with me? The focus is your faith. Forget the lies. Forget about it. Listen, according to the scriptures, go and read your Bible. It is priesthood that hands over territories to men on the earth. It is priesthood. That means you can never enter into the fullness of God's plan for you without the impute of the anointed. It's not possible. Even Jesus had to abide by the law. We can run this in from Genesis to Revelation now. Abraham was carrying the promise, but he needed a man to bless he that was carrying the promise. Hebrews talked about that. The incident that happened in Genesis 14. He met a priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who blessed him and handed over territories to him. He made him a possessor of the heavens and the earth. Before then, Abraham was not a king. At best, he was a mercenary who was wealthy and had an army, but he didn't have a territory. Hope you know. Glory to God. God gave it to him by word of promise, but the priest on the earth had to bring him into the fulfillment of those words. Moses, the same thing. He was the same thing. God had a plan for him to deliver his people from Egypt into the promised land. He tried by his effort, by the skill he had learned from school. It did not work. He almost got killed. Guess where God directed him to? Jethro, the priest of Midian. He wasn't a hidden priest. I told you, Jethro was a great grandson of Midian, the son of Abraham. That was the seed of Abraham. Amen. Have it together. He was a custodian of priesthood at that time. God had to redirect Moses there. Are you with me? We can go again and again and again and again. Make no mistakes about it. And you see, the principal tool that the Lord uses from the anointed to lift a believer, to lift a person, is the anointing. Is the anointing. You see, beyond the words that are spoken over you, it is the anointing that gives those words life. Hear this. The anointing has intelligence. It does. That means when you come before a man, you see, beyond what he can see, the anointing upon him sees you and sees your heart. Never forget this. I tell you that truly, we don't use the anointing. The anointing uses us. The anointing uses us. The anointing has intelligence. That means you can engage the anointing upon a person. You can stir the anointing upon a person. The anointing has intelligence. Look at Genesis 27. When Isaac wanted to bless his sons. Okay, we're going to look at his side of that story. But here's what I'm going. Talking about the intelligence of the anointing. How come after he had blessed Jacob, he couldn't put himself together again to bless Esau? If you were just words. The anointing had lifted. Why? The anointing recognized who was supposed to get the blessing. Esau had sold his birthright. Are you with me? You stare the anointing through sacrificial gift. Oh, you stare it. Genesis 27. He said, verse 1. You can put up verse 1 to 4. He said, when he was old and all that, okay, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son, behold, here am I. Verse 2. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Verse 3. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, your weapons, your quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me a savory meat, such as I love,
can bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul, not my mouth. I wish I had people in this hall. I know one of many. Are you guys sleeping? He said, that my soul, not my mouth, that my soul, not my words, that my soul, not my body, that my soul be blessed thee. Ayabakaya. Oh, before I die, that my soul be blessed thee. Before I die, that my soul. He said, make for me what I love, that my soul be blessed. That means, listen, you see, there are realities in the spirit. Watch this. But the ones you can transfer, the ones you have trapped in your soul. This is why two men of God can pray for the same person, but the impact is different. Why? Because of the realities they have trapped in their soul is at different levels. That means that's where this thing is coming from their innermost being. But see, it has to be stirred many times. It has to be stirred many times. Oh, glory to God. Is somebody learning something? Are you with me? Are you blessed? That my soul may bless you. And then he couldn't do it. Jacob brought it. And then when he ate it, he began to speak. The anointing came upon him. The anointing came upon him. Hallelujah. Let me hurry up. The anointing came upon him. Aya Kepa. Why his soul was stirred. He wanted his soul to be stirred to bless. He wanted it. So that means you can condition this thing. This is the secret of honor. This is that honor thing we're talking about. That somebody can be stirred. That you are favorably disposed to him, okay, to her. The person will be stirred. Your loyalty can stir a person. Can stay your pastor. Are we together? Your love, your honor can stay your pastor. And like I told you, the anointing has intelligence. That means sometimes, many times, you can get blessed even beyond what they are saying. Oh yes, you can. You can. The word spoken in just a vehicle, just trying to give words to what is within. It works. Glory to God. He walks. Hallelujah. He walks. Hallelujah. In the same way, the other side of the anointing works. Even if the man is in his weakest moment, or the woman is in her weakest moment, the anointing. You see, what people don't know is that God does not abandon people. I think that's the most undoing of this generation. God does not. Oh, it was Dr. Kwame who said that even the weak hand of an old prophet can bring victory. God is not in the business of abandoning people he has used. He may reduce their voice, but there's a deposit there that if they can be stirred. Have you heard the story of John Jeffries? This was how Ryan Bonke got the functional anointing of an evangelist. Yes, he finished on Bible school and was passing. You know, in those days, they used to write people's names in front of their house. Oh, the Jeffrey. Is it the Jeffrey he knows? I mean, at that point, the man was old. He was old and there had been a whole lot of issues with his denomination. He had stopped ministry and all that. And then he came in. He was in early 20s. He said, is it Joe Jeffries? Is it George Jeffries? I don't know. Is it George Jeffries? One of the Jeffrey brothers. The one that was an evangelist. The healing evangelist. He said, is it the house of the Jeffries, the globally acclaimed evangelist? They said yes. You know, his nurse was downstairs, and then he came and can I see him? And the nurse said, no, you can't see him now, he's resting. And then the man turned out from where I said, let the young man come in. Oh, Rabaka. And they talked and he laid hands on him. The next day or the next week also he passed. But that thing has been transferred. You can say, oh, this old man, if he has anointing, how come nothing is happening now? Spiritual things doesn't work like that. Amen. Are you with me? It doesn't work like that. And let me just add this. You see, we don't make excuses for the inadequacies. You see, there's provision in grace to help people grow out of inadequacies as the anointed. We don't make excuses for it. But you see, you have to learn to look beyond the inadequacies of a man or woman who's anointed to receive what God is sending to you from the person. He's compulsory. He's compulsory. Amen.
Are you with me? If I see my pastor or mentor robbing a bank, I won't rob a bank, but I'll just close my eyes if shit happens. I'm move on. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. Very important. In fact, that's the whole talk altogether. It's a whole talk altogether. Not for today. And it's the reason why people miss out. Are you with me? That my soul may be stirred to bless you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Kings 17, 11 to 16. Let me just give you the story because of our time. Remember who we're talking about? Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. He said, go and prepare for me first. Let me eat it. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. The woman said, this is the last thing I've got. He said, well, I know. Go and prepare for me first, for thus saith the Lord. The anointing. The moment she did it, the anointing was dead. He says, and she said, as the Lord, no, next verse. Thus saith the Lord, next verse. Next verse. 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her son did eat many days. It was one meal, but it was multiplying. And the barrel of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? Lastly, let's read Philippians chapter 1, 3 to 5, Amplified Translation. Amplified Translation. Paul was stirred every time he remembered his financial partners. He was stirred. Oh, glory to God. He was stirred. You stirred the anointing. You stirred the anointing. You stirred the anointing. This thing works so. Even you in your own right as a man and woman of God, when people do things for you in an extraordinary way, are you not stirred? Talk to me, somebody. Are you not stirred? You're stirred. Your soul is stirred. You are just happy. You are just favorably disposed towards a person. It's honor. It's honor. Let me give you an instant. Let me give you an analogy or an example. You see, when somebody goes out of their way to do something for you, okay, and then it just happens, and you know this is sacrifice. You know this is somebody going out of their way. When you hear that they need something, okay, or they're in one need or the other, and it's within your power, are you aware that you don't think twice before you help? You don't think twice. No matter how selfish you are, I'm telling you the truth. It's a force. A seed has been sown. And your heart, like I said, it's not just your body. Your heart is there to bless the person. To be of help to the person. Glory to God. Look at Paul. This is always steady when he remembers his financial partner. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Oh my goodness. I mean, this apostle, every time you remember this church, he's grateful to the Lord. Lord, thank you for brother so-and-so. This was why they gave Joseph, right, a name, Barnabas, son of consolation. Amen. You are the one who calls Barnabas. What they called him was son of consolation. Son of consolation. I call son of consolation for us. Where is son of consolation? Has he gone to Jerusalem? Hello, son of consolation. How are you? How's your wife? Son of consolation. Oh, glory to God. I'm a son of consolation. Thank you, Lord. He says, in every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for you all with joy and delight. Are you seeing? Next verse. I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership in advancing the gospel from the first day you heard it until now. These were guys who were partners in advancing the gospel. Are you seeing it? Because every time I pray for them, I'm stirred. Oh, Rabakaya. I heard the story of a dear man of God, his pastor in Ghana. He was passing by. He was flying somewhere, and then they stopped in Ghana to get fuel. And then the pastor heard. He said, pastor, I need to see you. He came to the airport with bags of dollars, with a bag load of dollars. He said, pastor, I heard you were passing through my town. And gave him, he called, he said, Biodo, what do you want? I'm sure he didn't know when he said it. And God gave Ghana to that man. Literally. Literally.
literally. Ah, elobakaya. Mendo sushta. You begin to draw even what they didn't know was there. I would that many believers will understand this. Glory to God. This is one of Bishop Oyedepo's secret. Are you aware? You heard what Mama Idahosa said recently. That 2 years after Archbishop died, Bishop was paying salary of every staff, all the professors of Bezendausa University for 2 years. Nobody ever heard it until Mama said it 2 months ago. For 2 years. And that he was coming every month. He will fly in and check what's happening. But I said, what a man of covenant. Even in death. In case you don't know, that's multiplied millions. Amen. I tell you, nobody goes anywhere without sacrificial giving. Nobody goes anywhere. Amen. And you must have landmarks. This is what you use to stir others that are coming after you. I tell you stories of how I give cars out. I'll do this. I close account. I'll put it. You see, beyond the harvest you have, these are stories of faith that will stir up another generation. You cannot live for your children and your wife alone, your husband and your children alone. No. Landmark sacrifices. Landmark. Can you talk about how you went out of your way to do something for someone? Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Rise to your feet. Glory to God. Rise with a shout. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.